Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated and Fukushima irradiated, chemtrailed and economic failed island continent freaking Absalom escapee prison planet island chained nation of New Zealand. Gosh dang, this place is beautiful. You know what's so pristine about New Zealand? We dump one of the most toxic chemicals known to Earth, 1080, all into our pristine water catchment areas in order to help the pest problems. New Zealand is actually a really filthy country full of really filthy scumbaggery that happened to be running it. And, of course, they all do this during meetings when nobody who is basically around to report on it or do anything about it, as is happening this morning in Auckland Central Command Structure, the Auckstag, basically. They're sitting around and they're deciding how they're going to tax the living bejesus out of all of Aucklanders in order to subsequently fund a $14 billion travel pledge deficit to build some new railway lines along, slave blocks and what have you, all Agenda 21. Isn't it great? We've just got to sit here and allow our councillors to try and fight the fight for us, where there's only like two or three in there that aren't corrupt out of the 100. Anyway, speaking of people who aren't corrupt, I have a very special guest for you today, ladies and gentlemen. His name is Michael Murphy. Michael, welcome to the program.
Vinny, thanks for having me on. Thanks for covering this most dire issue.
Yep, there's a heck of a lot of dire issues that need covering, and frankly, I don't have time. That's why I bring on experts like you who do have the time to cover at least one issue and bring it out to people.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? The chemtrail geoengineering boom is just exploding. A lot of exciting things happening. People are waking up. And as you probably know, we just completed our next film, Why in the World Are They Spraying? The feedback has just been incredible, so we really expect to have a much greater impact than the first film, and we're moving closer every day to getting ordinance passed, picking people up, and essentially getting these damaging programs stopped.
Yeah. Well, the damage that's being caused by chemtrails, can we see it? Is it measurable?
Oh, it absolutely is. And, just from the fallout alone of aluminum, barium, and strontium, those are the primary ingredients in these programs. There's a lot of other stuff, though, that we're beginning to find, and other people have some great research. But it falls into the air that we breathe and also gets into our soils. And aluminum oxide is very toxic to soils with barium and other metals that they're in. Our soils around the world are now being sterilized. As a result of that sterilization, we're seeing ecosystems collapsing around the world. There is a huge problem with fungal infections. A lot of ecosystems now are collapsing due to that as well. Geoengineering programs, because they do block the sun, are known to proliferate infections. So the new film focuses on the weather control aspect of these programs, and most people, I think, would agree that our weather is really out of balance. And it's very interesting because scientists are saying this is due to climate change. Yes, it is due to climate change, but what is the cause of that? And if we just look, it appears that the planet is warming. Geoengineering programs, while geoengineers state that the models are to spray these toxins into our sky and essentially the sun, stating that it will cool the planet, and it will cool the planet temporarily because the sun is reflected, but at night these aerosols act as a blanket and they trap heat. So we've seen a significant increase in nighttime highs. So these programs are not to cool the planet. They're actually exacerbating global warming. And for every degree that the planet rises in temperature, we should have 7% more precipitation. Well, we're having less precipitation, and actually the world now is in drought. Geoengineering programs and geoengineers are very open about the fact that their programs create drought because the particles, the aerosols that they spray, they actually act as cloud condensation nuclei, So the moisture that would essentially adhere to other moisture droplets and eventually enough and fall into rain do not do that. They actually adhere to these aerosols and they drift. So here in the United States, we have areas where they seed very, very heavy, right on the West Coast. We have drought conditions there, but eventually the moisture that adheres to these particles has to drop, and that's why we're seeing the imbalances, droughts in certain areas, massive flooding in other areas. It's very, very insidious, but again, we're sucking up literally with every breath a mountain of heavy metals that is depleting our immune systems. So there is no greater threat, based on my research, to the planet. There has never been a greater threat than these programs. So it's real important that we address this.
Now, we're talking about toxicity, right? What kind of percentage of your water has to have aluminium in it, or aluminium, as you say, before it's considered undrinkable? Because I've seen charts and stuff everywhere for like the safe toxic levels for certain substances in drinking water, and in general, it's very, 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 very little. Like mercury, I think it's like a gram of mercury can contaminate 20,000. Or the amount of mercury in a light bulb, like, for example, which I think is infinitesimal, can contaminate 20,000 liters of drinking water. What about aluminium? What about barium? What about strontium?
Well, I don't think there are levels for barium and strontium, because it should not be in our drinking water. It should not be in our air. Aluminum, though, aluminum is very abundant. It's one of the most abundant metals in the Earth's crust. So it should be in our dirt. Not in its free form, however, and zero aluminum should be in our rain. And again, people from around the world now, since we released the first film, they've been testing the rain. And again, this chemtrail geoengineering footprint of massive amounts of aluminum, barium, and strontium have been showing up. These metals match a number of geoengineering patents that have been designed to specifically spray these metals. And what we see in the sky in terms of these trails spreading out and blocking the sun, that matches the express goal of geoengineers. So with that being said, tests are coming in extremely high, but for drinking water allowables, I believe it's 1,000 parts per billion. It's very common to get three times that in rain tests, and you can find more rain tests at geoengineeringwatch.org. But the weather control, you know, it's just fascinating what we learned in filming Why in the World Are They Spraying? And we had an opportunity to interview former 20-year weatherman Scott Stevens, who became aware of this and studying this, Dr. Begage, who is HARP expert, and we really learned some incredible things. We interviewed many farmers and learned what the agenda was behind these programs, at least one of the agendas. There are definitely multi-agendas associated with these programs, but aerosols are needed in our atmosphere in order to control and thus corporatize our weather, and I can explain a little bit of the basic science if you'd like me to.
Yeah, I think that's actually a good idea to help people understand the basic rudimentary science of things, because I was trying to explain to somebody yesterday just how geoengineering works, and as far as I thought in terms of weather control, metal absorbs heat, so ergo you spray a whole bunch of metal into the air, it absorbs heat, and it affects the weather, because the weather is basically just highs and lows of like heat and cold, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's one of the ways, but I started my journey in October, and I went to an aerosol research conference and spoke with a number of professors and lecturers there about aerosols and geoengineering programs, learned that geoengineering, without question, could be used to control our weather, because aerosols, again, affect a number of things in our climate. And what we noticed usually about a day or two ahead of storms, very heavy trailing in certain regions. So I spoke with Scott, and we started looking into this, and I've become very effective at predicting when's going to come in, just based on the type of aerosol disbursement that we see in the days ahead of time. But what they do, there are two things that happen with the aerosols. Again, aerosols act as cloud condensation nuclei. So by putting these aerosols into the atmosphere, they can do a couple of things. They can either build clouds, depending on the size and whatever the particulate is, or they have the ability to actually disperse clouds. I'm in the Midwest, and some storms were coming in today, and then the planes came and started spraying them, and the storms did not drop rain. It's completely creating the drought. So through the interactions with water in our atmosphere, again, they can build clouds or essentially break clouds down. But the spraying that we see 500, 600 miles ahead of a storm front, what they do, if you remember, aluminum oxide is the main ingredient in these programs. Aluminum is a very effective conductor in our sky. So what we'll do, through the use of HARP or other technologies, they actually heat that metal particulate up, and when it heats, it rises. And what does a rising atmosphere do? It expands, and it creates a low-pressure vacuum. It literally gives them the ability to steer storms into certain areas or to swing storms out of different areas. And what we're finding, weather control is very, very profitable for certain corporations. Some people totally benefit financially genetically modified seeds. You know, it's a very, very large growth area. But we went to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, and we learned that weather is actually being traded at the Mercantile Exchange, if you can believe that.
I'm struggling to think to myself, what kind of mad ideas would drive people to basically invest money in things that aren't really there or basically shouldn't be tampered with? You know, this is the kind of thing. They're taking immense risk with everything in order to make a few bucks. I liken this to this sort of like a hyperactive problem gambler.
Yeah, I think you said the right words. Geoengineer David Key said 2 years ago, he said, geoengineering gives man godlike power. Power is addictive. The people behind at the very top levels of these programs, no question about it, they are addicted to power. And just like a drug addict or somebody who's dependent on a substance, we see drug addicts every day putting their health and the health of their family members at risk just to get the rush from that drug. How much greater of a rush is godlike power? And that's what we're dealing with. They will continue to do this unless we stop them, which we will. But it's destroying everything, literally everything. There's nothing on our planet that is not affected in a very negative way by these programs. So that's why it's so important, again, to get the word out. But in the financial markets, every commodity is driven by weather. And I'm not saying everybody who trades weather derivatives, is in on the weather control aspect. There are certain corporations and certain groups of people who are connected with the people who are connected with these programs. And again, if you predict where a drought will be, you can literally make billions of dollars by just betting with these derivatives. It's essentially betting that a weather event will happen. And people now think our weather is completely natural, but there's no question that it is being very, very much controlled and very much corporatized. So if you have the playbook and you have the ability to bet, and certain people do, you cannot lose. And that's what's happening. And that's why we're seeing the droughts. You can literally insure a crop. Let's say if you have $5 million of crop in the Midwest, but can insure that crop for 10 minutes, and you have the ability or the connections to create a drought in that area and make twice as much money and perhaps fulfill other agendas from the New World Order, well, hey, you know, I think it speaks for itself. So that's what we're seeing at very, very low levels. But as we were talking before about some of the ecological implications, in terms of the toxified soils, now we're seeing drought in certain areas. This overgrowth fungus, which is now very common, all of these things affect crops. They all affect forests. So as a result, we're seeing ecosystems collapse. We learned in the investigation it's a seed which is owned by Monsanto. It is called an abiotic stress seed. What is abiotic stress? It's everything that's created from geo. It's drought. It's heavy metal contamination. It's excess moisture. Anything that can stress the soil. So what they're doing, they are completely taking over the market share through these adverse conditions. EPA is reporting that we will see a percent increase in declines in crop yields in the next, I believe it's 20 years. They're expecting the weather to get much worse. So they have a solution. They have a solution for this. And it's the Hegelian dialectic: problem, reaction, solution. And many people, especially in Africa, geoengineers are very open about the risks of these programs. They state, again, that it will create droughts in Africa and Asia and could disrupt the food supply of over 2 billion people. Very serious.
Indeed, very serious. Michael Murphy, Why in the World Are They Spraying is the name of the film. You can go see it soon at whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com and pick up advanced copies. Michael will be back after the break to spend a few more minutes with us, and then he's got to go because he's very busy. Back in a minute, ladies and gentlemen.
Bonkers. Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
Welcome back. Oh yeah, ladies and gentlemen. Some people pay for aluminium, but I get mine for free. On AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And my very special guest, speaking of aluminium raining down from the skies. Hey, in fact, I was wondering, Michael, because you know how in Northern and Canada and stuff like that, how they've got those big mines that are stretched over the landscape and they're tearing it all up in order to get like these infinitesimal specks of oil out of these giant quantities of sand because, you know, oil's so expensive now, allegedly, in order to make that stuff profitable. I wonder how much aluminium would have to be sprayed into the air before, you know, putting a little catchment thingy on your roof would become profitable.
It's crazy, isn't it, Vinny? There's a lot of questions out there that still need to be answered. But yeah, a lot of bad things happening out there. But from our investigation, short of nuclear fallout, there could not be a greater threat to our planet. We are in global drought right now, and I filmed in Hawaii, in Maui, and this winter, when the rains come, typically, and that's the rainy season, they expect things to get more green. This year, when the rain came, everything died. A director of health became concerned about the issue, started noticing the aerosols in the sky, and started doing rain tests. He did over 30 rain tests that, again, showed this chemtrail geoengineering footprint of aluminum, barium, and strontium. So the ecosystem is collapsing. If most people look outside, look at your trees, not as healthy as they used to be. Reasons. Again, the soil pHs are getting contaminated. The soils are changing. We're not getting the rain that we used to get due to these programs. And there is a new issue that most people are unaware of, and it's called global dimming. We have 20% less sunlight on the Earth than we did just several decades ago. That's a stated goal of geoengineers as well. So all of these dots are connecting. No question about it that these programs are in full-scale deployment. But it's very concerning because while geoengineers deny that they've started these programs, they are now calling for emergency wartime-scale geoengineering, stating that if they don't spray these chemicals into our sky, that everybody in the world is going to die. Well, again, this has nothing to do with cooling the planet and saving the planet, but it is a very effective tool controlling the weather in consolidating this enormous amount of both monetary and political power into the hands of a few. And if you control the weather, control the planet. It's really that simple.
You really do. And the whole idea of control, I think, is a very insecure one. And have you noticed how really insecure people, when they accumulate a lot of power and stuff like that, they wind up abusing it and hurting other people? Kind of like somebody who was in high school and got bullied a lot and then becomes a police officer so that they can be the bully for a change.
I guess it's the same principle, isn't it? And, you know, again, a number of objectives are met just from controlling the weather. Again, geoengineers, as we stated, said our programs could disrupt the food supply of 2 billion people. They are having a dialogue, believe it or not, who in what countries will be the haves and have-nots. Who are the countries that are going to get more rain? You know, I think it's one word that keeps on coming up when I think of you, Vinny, is, and I think it, you address this issue brilliantly, because sometimes humor is our best weapon. But when you say the lighter side of genocide, that's part of these programs. It is literally destroying life. And it's through these programs, by literally destroying the natural world and destroying trees and forests, they're now genetically modifying forests. I'm not sure if people were aware of that, but there's called Arbidin, which we covered in Why in the World Spraying. You can find that at whyintheworldarethespraying.com. But again, through the death and destruction of natural systems, these corporations are able to usurp the authority of nature or the authority of God and bring this power under the authority of man. And this is about control. It's about controlling every natural system. It's about controlling the water rights. Agenda 21, if you remember, in the Midwest, we had severe flooding a little over a year ago, and a couple of things happened, but certain individuals benefited from that. Many of the farmers had just planted their crops, and obviously they got washed out, so they had to replant again. The ones that did not go out of business went into this genetically modified seed, which was able to be planted late season and grow really quickly. So Monsanto and DuPont definitely profited from that. But the ones that weren't able to rebound actually went bankrupt. And a company controlled by George Soros came in, and they bought that farmland at pennies on the dollar. This appears to be a land grab as well. And as we know, the issue of Agenda 21 and the objective to get people off of land and into tight quarters, these programs are a very effective tool in achieving those the evil desires of those who are in control.
Well, can I ask, is there any government involvement in all of this, or is it simply a private scheme by private scumbags who have a private army, basically, and are just doing it under above everybody's heads?
Well, there's no question that there's military and government involvement, because this is done in airspace above countries. But let's be real. Corporations control our government and our military. Here in America, that we have a government that's for the people and by the people, and that may have been the case at one time, but it is not the case now. It has completely been hijacked by corporations that want to desperately, and other entities that definitely want to control every natural system on the world. So essentially, this system that we have does not gain power when we thrive. It only gains power through death and destruction. And that is how this shift to power is happening. So one of the things that I try to do, this is a real heavy subject, and some people address it in fear, others address this in anger. I address it in faith, because I recognize the enormous amount of power that the human being, us, that we have when we stand up and exercise our authority. People find out what's going on and what this means for the future, not only of the planet, but of our children. They will stand up, and they are standing up. And through that, we will take our power back, and these programs will stop.
Well, we hope that is the case. And the great thing that I find about getting out and actually talking about chemtrails and doing it, like we did a four busy intersections around Auckland, me and maybe almost a dozen other people just kind of convoyed around and held our banners out and spoke on the megaphone for about 30 minutes in each of these corners. And I said that the point of this protest is not to convince everybody that chemtrails are real or anything like that. There are two things that I hope to convince here. People who have never even heard of chemtrails or anything like that to suddenly see it and start wondering about it. And two, the people who already know about chemtrails suddenly realizing that they're not alone in all of this, that there are other people out there waving the signs and trying to let the people know. And so when you set your sights low like that, but benevolently, you always achieve them. It's quite easy. And we've got lots of people driving past, tooting their horns and stuff like that. We were quite surprised at just how much awareness there was in Auckland, where there had basically, apart from myself, never been a chemtrail protest before.
Oh, I run the Los Angeles Chemtrails Meetup Group. So we make copies of the first film, Blood in the World, Out of the Strain. We hit the streets. And again, people are aware of this. We have critical mass. People are beeping their horns. And I just want to mention, when I make films, these films are tools for activism. And the first film was very effective. I can promise the next film will be and have an even greater impact. And we have, obviously, we have a copy and share. So we encourage people who order a DVD to make copies and hand out for free. And again, this is what we need to do. We need to go out with flyers, DVDs, and just get out there into the public. The website is whyintheworldarethespraying.com. But I've seen a lot of your outreaches, and that's what we need to do, Vinny. I respect what you do, and I encourage it. And we're going to have to get you out to one of our events when we hit the streets in Los Angeles. Maybe you can come in for our premiere, which is at the Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails event. You can go to our website, whyintheworldarethespraying.com, and click on the link there. We're going to be streaming the premiere live as well around the world, so millions of people will have the opportunity to watch this. So again, go to the website, get involved with this, and watch our premiere, and support the work by getting a DVD, because we want everybody to make copies and hand them out to the neighbors, to the people at work. We have a crisis. We have a very serious threat to our planet and to our future, but we very much have a responsibility, but a great opportunity to stand in the gap. We are the ones that have been called for a time such as this, and that's why it's so important.
Well, see, if it's not me, then who? It's like, You sit here, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, or whatever. You're in a particular place. You're at a particular point during a particular time. Do you think that doesn't mean anything? And I think that what it is, it's not an obligation, the time and the place and the events that happen around you. It's an opportunity. Do you want to sit back, watch everything go to heck, partying your last few days, and so that you can at least be happy in the fact that you had some fun before you subsequently got enslaved and or exterminated? Or you could think to yourself, you know what? It's actually really fun to go out and antagonize the scumbags that are trying to enslave us, isn't it? Okay? Especially if you get to man a megaphone or a camera or some piece of technology. I don't know what it is, Michael, but if you've got a piece of technology with you that allows you to do something more in the ways of exposing a little bit of scumbaggery or recording or releasing something that you've done or something that really happened, while you're there, while you're doing it, knowing that it can be reproduced, knowing that it's amplified further beyond your own means, it gives you that much more energy, that much more inspiration, and more to the point, if it is recorded, it can be seen that much more times, rather than just the people who are driving past you on the corner with a sign one time. You can actually have tens of thousands of people online view it. That's the new media that we've got now, and it has the capacity, I believe, to overthrow and actually reach the critical mass, which, as I mentioned yesterday when we were talking, Michael, critical mass is actually a very small number. American War of Revolution against the British Empire, biggest empire in the world at the time. Okay, only about, what, 3% of the population actively fought against the British Empire? 3%. It's nothing. And the same will be true in this day and age, because what do the people who do absolutely nothing accomplish? Nothing. And what do the people who do absolutely nothing get in the way of? Nothing. So they're not going to stop us from saving the world, nor are they going to stop the tyrants from enslaving it. They've become almost irrelevant, the vast majority of people. And I wish that they would live lives of far more relevance and think of themselves as far more significant. That way, they could actually be part of that very small percentage of people who care enough to get off their ass and actually do something.
I think it's happening, and thanks to people like yourself and a number of other people who are standing up and addressing this and recognizing the seriousness of our time. But again, that opportunity, I like that word, Vinny. We have one incredible opportunity in front of us to really create the future that we want. And I want a future with clean air. I want a future with organic food. And I want to be able to provide a beautiful world for the children who are growing up. And we have that opportunity. And it is up to us. And we ask the question, why in the world are they spraying? And we answered that question. And it's very simple. Because we allow it. That's why they're spraying. And it's time to take our power back. It's time to reclaim our earth. And it's time to make some changes. And it's happening.
Well, it only happens when you start taking action, eh, Michael? Well, thank you very much for dropping in today. And if you have any final words, and more specifically, you need some donations and pre-orders as well. In order to finance your own operations. And ladies and gentlemen, sometimes I know that people switch off when you ask for money or things of that nature. Hey, look, we can't do what we're doing unless we eat or can get the equipment and stuff that we need to keep doing what we're doing. So if you can spare anything, it's a good cause. Please go to the websites and things of that nature and help out any way you can. Even by sharing a link or a video means that a few more people will see it that couldn't have the opportunity before.
And yeah, if I can purchase the DVD, please do, because that's what we want. We want people to be able to reproduce this. So please hand those out for free. Get them into your workplace. But we also have a trailer on the website, which is whyintheworldarethespraying.com. Spread that trailer around. We need to be aware of what's going on. And again, please just send it out, Facebook, email list. Together, we will create the change that we want. So it's really wonderful to be a part of it. And Vinny, hey, thank you for everything that you do. I really respect you and all the work that you're doing. And
we're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah. Sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time. Oh.
It's business. It's business time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. We go brush our teeth. That's all part of it.
Welcome
That's
back, ladies and gentlemen, to the sexiest 2 hours of talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And I have a very special guest here, Ellie McDermott. Ellie, welcome to the program.
Hello, Vinny. Thank you for having me on. I literally found out about you 10 minutes ago. So it's great to
Likewise.
Be here. Dave Corso from Wolf Spirit Radio said, I've just called up my friend with a Freedom Radio, and he said, be ready in 10 minutes.
See, it's amazing how much you can accomplish when you don't have bureaucracy holding you the frack up.
Oh, agreed, agreed. Yes, indeed.
Well, How about we ask you the first question that I normally ask all my guests that I know nothing about, which would include the vast majority of my guests who I do no research on, don't even look at the websites. This includes you. Just tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
Okay, well, I'm a volunteer with, I'm a press spokesperson indeed, with the Fireburn Doctor Team, which are an American group of former healthcare professionals who've come together to help demonstrate a public test for free, direct to the public, to test, an invitation to test the Fireburn Doctor Team on their burn injuries. Now, it's for anybody to use. It'll never be charged for, but what we, in order to participate and exceed this extraordinary technology at work, people just simply call a telephone number. I'll get back to that in a minute, but we've been operative for about 2 years, and we have nearly 700 results of people worldwide from 44 states in the U.S. and 40 nations worldwide who've all experienced their pain disappearing in minutes, their burns receding and the red marks, tissue damage receding in hours, and even in third, fourth degree burns, the really severe ones, it's gone in days, weeks at worst, and reepitalized to no scars.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. It's unprecedented. It's not reliant on placebo. It's a worldwide public test, so they can people can know this is true. Test it for themselves. They keep the number 001-818-332-6445. It's on the website, fireburndoctor.com. Keep that number in your cell phones, on your refrigerator doors. You burn yourself, you call us on the way to the hospital, and you simply just give basic data, your name, your date of birth, your place of birth, or if possible, a photograph, just a photograph will do. And the person needing help will be given a technology which causes this provocation of the body to fix itself. And its full scientific name is DSNB, and it stands for Distant Subliminal Neurobypassing. Now, no one will ever have heard of that. It's a first in human history, but it's a science of the unconscious mind, and it's out there in the public domain so they can see the results of it on a physical, very obvious thing like a burn injury, and pass it to their communities, test it in their own communities, and see for themselves that it's true. And I, for 8 years, happen to know it's true, so I've been going on radio shows from Rents to coast, all over the place, alerting the public about this free service and making sure they've got it in their wallets, at least, in their cell phones. So that's a little nutshell. I can explain more with your questions, but that's what Fireburn Doctor's about.
I once read a book about a boy who was burned on, 70% of his body or something like that, the amount of years and the amount of traumatic treatments and skin grafts and stretching and tubes and feedings and expense and living in these wards with all these other burn victims and things of that nature, just truly horrific, expensive, and long.
Absolutely.
And enduring.
Absolutely, and you know, the medical can't do a great deal for those severe burns. They apply their cooling gels, they can do reconstructive surgeries and skin grafts, but they don't have a technology that provokes the body to fix itself in minutes, and that's what we have here. And it's in terms of how it works, people are going to have a hard time getting their heads around it, but it doesn't matter if they don't believe it. They can think it's absolute BS. But do it anyway. Call that number, that 001-818-332-6445 number. So write it down right now so you've got it. And call within the first 30 minutes. Because in burns, the fear, the pain, the disproportionate pain reaction to the burn is such chaotic impulses to the brain. The brain goes into chaos and sends the wrong signals, the wrong hormones, neurotoxins are released. And it doesn't really notice or have a homeostatic response to the burn. It almost ignores it. In fact, does the worst thing. The immunity isn't kicked in, and in secondary infections and repair work just doesn't start. And that inhibiting brain signal is what is bypassed in this technology. It circumvents that brain signal and provokes the body to fix itself, and in minutes. Within minutes, that data is in the hands of a technician.
By which apparatus do you actually change a brain signal?
This is a science of the unconscious mind. It's done from a distance, and it's a subliminal influence technology. And people have never seen its results in their face ever in human history. That's what we're doing. And it's not reliant on placebo. We've taken care of babies, but people who've been burned, and their relative have called in their data just to see what would happen. And sure enough, their pain stopped on the way to the hospital in the ambulance, and they left in agony and arrived with no pain. They didn't know what happened to them, but a relative had heard me or somebody on a radio show or met somebody from the Fireburn Doctor team. We've scouts getting the word out in all kinds of ways, and they thought, well, what the heck? Well, I'm going to try it. Why not? It can't be any worse than this. It hurts like disproportionately crazy. We all know that. So the apparatus is influence technology, and our founder is... if you think of our computer systems worldwide, that's an unseen information
when you say
highway.
Technology, technology has no form or something like that. What about the device? What does the device look like? What does it do? Does it flash you a whole bunch of images like in Clockwork Orange or what?
It's not a device. It's an influence technology, and it can be taught. It's a science of the unconscious mind, but there's no former existing yardsticks to go by. But the operational field that this is working from is the same field that Carl Jung and Einstein identified, the quantum field, the life continuum. We have a biomatrix hacker, which is a term which is quite accurate, who's able to surf that continuum, locate the person in minutes, and force a shift where their body is taking over to a dramatic, visually unexpected, unprecedented result. Their pain's gone in half an hour. Their blisters and red marks are going down in first and second degree burns in just hours, and in worst cases, it's days. And if people look on the news page of fireburndocs.com, they'll see where this was applied to a third, fourth degree burn on a little girl who was pulled out of a house fire, very, very dramatic burn, and she would, as the doctors thought right then, she was at risk of dying. And we didn't hear about her till 4 hours after the accident, so the damage had already cemented itself. But nonetheless, her pain stopped, and her skin reepithelized, and she has no scars. There's a slight, slight pigment hue difference of the tissue that had the burn. It's almost as though it never happened. And this is free, and it will never be charged for. People have got nothing to lose to just test it. Say, okay, well, I'm gonna just stick this number down. And why not? You know, just this is alongside standard medical treatment. The head of our team is a medical doctor, Dr. Joseph Watson. He's a U.S. medical doctor, so all data is protected under the HIPAA laws here in the U.S., treated with utmost discretion. But we've had a consistent result on everybody that's called, and that has huge implications on the burns worldwide that are scarring and disfiguring people unnecessarily. This has been here a long time, and now we're grassroots, and what the heck, going to direct to the public, let them see it, let them test it. So
over the years, how many burn victims would you have healed in the organization?
Sorry, could you repeat that question?
Over the years, how many burn victims would have been healed through Fireburn Doctor?
Well, just to give you a handle on it, burns claim more lives than HIV and AIDS worldwide. Just in America alone, there's millions of burns, mostly children, every year. What the global statistic is now, because it's going up and up and up with our climate problems and our general ecological difficulties. We're getting more fires. We're getting solar flares. We're getting warfare. Bombs, you know, the military need this. The military are high-risk people who are in burn situations a great deal, and so are people in arid countries, dry countries. And all they need is a phone. They need a phone. They just need that number, and they need a phone and someone to get there within half an hour, and they will have a dramatic result. And all we ask, the only exchange we ask, is that please tell us what happened. Call us or email us on fireburndoctor@aol.com and just tell us what happened.
All right, and we'll be right back after the break. with Ellie McDermott in just a few minutes. And if you'd like to call in, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to open up the call-in lines as well. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. You want to ring in and talk to Ellie or myself. We'll be right back just a few minutes at the top of the hour at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Alert the masses. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and, incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, broadcasting live around America and the world. Welcome, everybody. My very special guest, Ellie McDermott from FireBurnDoctor.com. Now, allegedly what the idea is if you're ever burned or anything like that, and this is the reason why you go to the website and you write down the phone number and all of that sort of stuff and just put it in your wallet or put it down as a contact in your cell phone or something like that, pop it on the fridge, whatever. Especially if you've got little small kids or something like that. You know how when you've got like a pot of boiling water on the stove and the kid reaches up to grab it and just pours boiling water on themselves and then your child's disfigured for the rest of their life. Instead of that, you just ring the number and your child's sweet ass. That kind of thing. So that little bit of an effort it might take right now at this particular moment to grab a pen, a paper, and write down fireburndoctor.com or 818-332-6445, 818-332-6445. Just write that one down, put it somewhere, okay? Because one day, somebody's going to get burned, and you're going to be able to go flick them on the cell phone and just hand it to them and actually save them 18 months of horrendous pain, surgery, and expense.
Exactly.
Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that simple? And it'll never be charged for. And sometime in the future when everybody has seen this and it's slam dunk known as true, nobody can take this away from public knowledge then. And we're in a whole new era. We'll be training people, and that's also for free. And it's unprecedented. And yet it provokes something that's fundamentally in all of us, which is a sort of blueprint or template that can go into superdrive and fix anything that comes to our bodies, in fact. But this is the public taster of it. It's for them to know that it's here. And it's a resurgence of something that's been around a rather a long time, but it's not been in our cultures for whatever reason. And it's been removed from public view. And now it's time the public had it back. The people had it back. And it can be used for many other things. So it's exciting to be able to be part of this. And when I've had the privilege of talking to folk who've used this, who've gone from hardcore cynics thinking it was BS and their wife persuaded them to stick it in their phone anyway. And they've gone from cynical, skeptical. The skeptical's okay, they're asking questions, but they thought it was rubbish then, and it still worked, and they were profoundly shocked. They knew how a burn would behave, and it didn't do that. You know, we know even with the little burns, they have for days, even that they're annoying and they blister and, you know, people's time off work. There are people who burn themselves as an occupational hazard who have saved tax dollars through not losing time off work and being able to go straight back to work indeed. On the video page of Fireburn Doctor, there's a guy called Grant Fryer, and that's his real name. Regular guy, heard a radio show, and had the Fireburn Doctor number, and had a journalist friend who knew about Fireburn Doctor. Cut a long story short, he came running in the house with a really nasty, searing burn from hot, white-hot overheating machinery in a workshop. And he came in cussing and swearing in agony. And the journalist friend said, let's call Fireman Doctor. And he certainly called him every kind of blue expletive you could imagine. But it persuaded him in the end. And they filmed. They filmed him. That film is on the video page. And it's very, very funny. His shock is immense. It doesn't effing hurt. Doesn't effing hurt, Jed. He's saying it over and over. It doesn't effing hurt. And, you know, that's the first piece of film that we've called of this, because it's all done and over very quickly. And, I mean, we don't ask people to get their cameras out, but it would be kind of nice if they did and they filmed what happened for us too, because it's all the more solid proof when the medical and scientific communities cannot do this, period. And yet, this is, in a sense, a giant global control group in that everybody knows what the medical standard is. All doctors and all the public knows what happened in a burn, and they know the severe ones do not regrow skin, scar tissue forms instead.
Ellie,
we all know that.
Ellie,
so there's the control group, and this is not behaving like that.
Are you familiar with the TV series known as Jackass?
I am, actually. I find that very funny. But, I should think they have an occupational hazard of burns.
Well, and they do frequently get burned on that sort of thing. So, and in the spirit of actually getting it filmed and getting the word out there, it would be interesting, don't you think, if they would purposely burn themselves in some way. We'd laugh our asses off because they'd be hurt so bad, and then you just watch them heal on camera.
The thing is, though, even the jackass people, who could burn themselves to third, fourth degree, which is what this is really for. The little burns, we're doing the little burns. We wouldn't turn anybody who's called within the time. We'll do everybody's burn.
If anybody's crazy enough,
yeah, I know they're a bit crazy
enough. Somebody who's crazy, I've just delivered.
But I can't advocate it. I mean, there are enough real horrible hardcore accidents out there. People need to be just thinking, what the heck? You could drive by one tomorrow, Vinny. You could, and there's a car on fire with people pulled out of it. You could take a picture with your cell phone and send that through to Fireburn Doctor. They can tell you off afterwards and breach your information, but a photograph, journalists do that all the time, and they've got everything to gain, everything to gain. You actually witness someone who's just been barbecued, pulled out of a house fire or a car fire, and they're sitting there having a cup of tea. They're not in shock. They're fine and calm and pain-free. You know, there's so much that can be done for people to see this, and it could crop up any time. That's why we urge people, give this to a community. Make it your own test. We're going to test Fireman Doctor, see if they're talking a crock or if this actually works, and this is for our community. Test it. Be the scientist in the field for us and do it, just why not? And you have a heck of a lot to gain. You hurt yourself badly with fire, you have everything to gain. But you don't know that this side of things, you know, so it's an invitation to try it anyway.
Well, this is the thing. I have the deep belief that almost everything that mainstream medicine has to offer, apart from general pathology and emergency trauma treatment in a lot of cases, broken limbs and appendix about to burst and things of that nature, are more or less just ineffective and more dangerous than other methods that exist. And the medical field is designed to essentially educate up-and-coming doctors into being competitive with one another rather than collaborative, and to think about more or less a herd mentality where they don't want to step outside, and also to a large degree they've also got so much extra things to read during the course of their job just to keep their license that they don't want to research into anything else because they don't have the time anyway.
You said it, but they're bureaucratic straitjackets that I really hope one day will simplify, where they can embrace this. You know, every emergency room, every paramedic, every firefighter, every first responder could be doing incredible things with this right now. But they are, I mean, I used to work in the UK Health Service, and the litigation quagmire is just around your ankles 24/7, and they can't move, or any free investigation or testing without being, you know, tied up like you know, restricting their code of ethics, shall we say. But they could have been working with this. They could have been working with this for the last 6 years, 8 years, in fact.
Hmm. And distance is not a problem, of course, because if you're talking across the cell phone or something like that. Because I was just wondering, what about dispatchers? Because an old friend of mine, her dad's a fire dispatcher or something of that nature.
Well, again, it's a marvellous idea. But all communities need this. Whoever calls in will take care of their burn. And any country, you know, we've been going into Africa with results in Ghana. We've got a team that are set up to have a relay information so the local languages can get to a central point and they call the U.S. number. That can go on in any country, and it costs pennies to operate Fireburn Doctor in that sense. A cell phone is needed that someone is going to hear 24 hours a day. So people can participate and mount their own experiment now. And they're going to see then something as many other applications, but they've had it confirmed as true. No document told them. No, you know, they would have seen it firsthand themselves. It was their relative or themselves. And lives can be saved with this. We hear about that in the first 30 minutes before it's become a major event. If you think about a burn, even the severe third, fourth degree, it's peripheral damage. It's actually a few millimeters of damage around the body, and yet the body goes into chaos. You get edema, and you goes into this, you know, the adrenaline of the fear sets off all the rest to go crazy. And that's what then ignores the burn, and it becomes so damaging. But catching them within 30 minutes is hardly having that reaction yet. We catching them, ideally, call us in the first couple of minutes. Optimum is the first couple of minutes. They notice their pain plummet, and actually within a couple of minutes instead of half an hour. So it's relative how quick you interrupt that faulty brain signal doing its chaos in the body. So we urge people, hurry, call Fireburn Doctor on that number. It's if you're outside the U.S., it's 001-818-332-6445, and pass it to all your friends and loved ones. And do check out the website. It's regularly updated. The numbers are going up and up. And as the word spreads, ultimately we're hoping to reach all the mothers worldwide, because in truth they're often the first responders. They're the callers of the ambulances and things, and you know when their loved one's been hurt. So mothers, please, what the heck, stick this number in your cell phone and make sure your mum has got it in. Yeah, it's a woman's thing. Except a lot of the volunteers of this are ladies, because, I don't know, we just see where it could be used. It could be your child. It could be my child. And,
well,
you know,
and the general nature of women to be nurturing.
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, heck, if there's something out there that says they can do this, then I'm going to put it to the test and do it and then see themselves. And it's delightful talking to people who've used Fireburn Doctor. It really is. If we'd have had more time, I'd have come on air with some of the professions that have used Fireburn Doctor. We have a retired judge, Charles Barnhart, that's his real name, and he's heard of Addison Rents and called his wife's burn in. And he's a very pragmatic, black and white, smell the truth kind of guy, and figured when he'd heard other people's accounts of what happened, he thought, well, I'm going to put it to the test. And a few weeks later, his wife had burned her hand. He was astonished, hurt, there was nothing there the following day, and pain had gone right away, within half an hour. He didn't try and rationally explain it. He's just a witness who said, well, I saw it, and I think it begs more investigation, because I know what I saw, and he was a naval corpsman, and he saw Vietnam burns. So he knows what burns do. So, you know, we've got ER nurses, we've got donut makers and bakers and chefs and hairdressers. We've got people who are burning their hands as a weekly event, and they know it's true, and they wouldn't be without this. But that's the little stuff. We need to have the big burns sent in, and that's why we're alerting everybody worldwide. And thank you for helping with that.
Are you under attack by any establishment of some kind trying to shut you up? I'll take that as a yes.
Well, nothing overt. in recent years, although I had occasion, because I heard about very quickly, within not so many minutes of it happening, I heard about three firefighters that had burned themselves horrifically and were ferried off under air ambulance, and I knew the fire chief who connected with me with the fire chief. Cut a long story short, I knew what hospital they headed to, and we had time to still have an impact. So I, like a crazy thing, I get through to the right fire chief, and then he gives me the number of the burn hospital. I still didn't know their names because I wasn't talking to the person who I could verify my references with, but eventually the head honcho called me, and I was hugely excited because these were three professionals who had burned themselves badly, and we were going to have a big impact on professionals. We're going to see this. So I'm really excited, and I get the head honcho, and he listened to me for a few moments and silent for a little while, and said, "Well, you don't go near any of the fire chiefs. I know all the fire chiefs, and you don't go near any of my staff. You don't come near my hospital, and I think you better run along home, Missy, and put the phone down." So I understand it can be, you know, given that this is free and it's a multi-billion-dollar industry invested in burn industry casualties. Reconstructive surgery is a huge industry, but they can't do this.
So, yeah.
You know,
well, look at it this way.
Publicly correct.
Yeah. Look at it this way. If you have a financial interest in people remaining burnt and suffering and dying, then by goodness, try and protect your financial interests, right?
Well, we don't have to be Einstein to work out the math there. But the good thing is that they could just think, well, what the heck, this is here. It's being seen all over the world. As the numbers grow, the medical will have to. By the sheer volume of numbers of people who have directly, experientially experienced it and knows it and know it works. And they've told their people. Oh, boy, have they told their people. It's very sweet. And we have those people. We invite them to come on shows. It's almost like a snowballing. But they heard us on shows and so on. They heard others who'd heard us on shows. And so these are members of the public saying what happened to them. They're witnesses and they're public testimonies too. And, you know, a retired judge isn't going to do that flippantly. We have a lot of professionals, even a Russian scientist, government worker, patent office worker. The news page on the website, there's all sorts of recorded interviews of public members who've used this, and, you know, let your nose for the truth do the talking. And we want to go very fast. We want this to be a wave and in public hands very quickly. So anybody's got any recommendations on radio shows, then do send them to Fireburn Doctor 2, because that's great to know. And, you know, you'll be happy to talk on them too.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on with us, Ellie. And everybody, I encourage you to check out fireburndoctor.com. And the number for it is 818-332-6445. Ellie, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you again sometime. Ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about boogieing it down. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And we have a lot of diverse guests on this show, don't we? At short notice, too. I guess it's a great place to be in the universe where you get to just talk to all sorts of different people all over the world without much fiddling around or anything like that. Have you ever noticed that you have to walk on eggshells around certain people and you know for a fact that it's grinding on you? You know, your teeth are basically being ground down just as you bite your tongue sort of thing. Because you're not allowed to say certain things around them. This often occurs with family members, employers, or just authority figures in general. You know, there's very few people who are like me who would walk up to the Prime Minister and just call him a scumbag. You know, a lot of people don't have that kind of gall. They would rather be more respectful and bite their tongue and just say, well, he's been slightly dishonest about whatever, as opposed to saying he bold-faced lied. Or saying he might have to change his mind because the economic situations were a little off-putting or something of that nature. Circumstances don't change. Circumstances don't change, and then you simply, I don't know, renege on everything you said because the circumstances changed a little. What you do is you try and do close as you can to what you do want to do, not the exact opposite of everything you said, which is what politicians do. Now, I'm joined now by another fabulous guest, Max Egan, coming to us live from Aussie, I think. Are you still an Aussie, mate?
I certainly am, mate. Certainly am.
How's it going?
Yeah, cold, winter, you know what it's like.
Yeah, winter sucks.
I'm flying out of here in 10 days from now.
Mm-hmm. And if we're lucky, I might be able to sneak into the airport to have a coffee with you while you land in New Zealand for a couple of hours.
Yeah, I'll be there for 2 hours, mate, in Auckland. So, yeah, think about that one. If you can get in, that'd be great.
Yeah, mate.
Flying from there over to Chile and then going from Chile up to Peru.
Mm-hmm.
So spent a couple of weeks in Peru.
Yeah.
And then it seems to have morphed into something more than that. It looks like I'm very likely going to be going from Peru up to Costa Rica, then across to Venice and down to Slovenia for the six-day hemp conference that Rick Simpson is attending.
Oh, choice.
So that should be fun. And then possibly across to England. So...
Mate, it's like you're doing a whirlwind Max Egan tour, bro.
Well, kind of. It's all being financed by other people. Like all the flights are being paid for by other people. So I'm not taking very much spending money with me because I don't have very much. So
yeah.
I'll just be kind of throwing myself to the whim of the universe and see where I end up.
Well, that's what you've been doing for quite some time, and it all seems to have ended up in a rather decent place, hasn't it, though?
Well, yeah, it's funny that, the way it all sort of works. I found that if you give a lot to people, then the universe just kind of gives back to you and you just get looked after.
Yeah.
I've had someone say to me, look, I don't know how you can live like that, Max. I have to plan my life. I have to know exactly what I'm doing. And I sort of say, well, if I was to plan my life, I'd miss out on it because none of the synchronicities would be able to be followed then, you know. And my life has been one series of synchronistic events for a very long time, so that's just the way I live. I never know what I'm doing from one day to the next.
Does that mean in order to basically to plan your life is to avoid all possibilities of synchronicity happening?
Well, it is. Absolutely. If I can't do that because I've got on this little piece of paper that I have to be in this spot at this certain time. I just don't operate that way. I mean, sure, if I'm going to meet someone at 2 o'clock, I'll meet them for lunch or whatever, but... I don't plan any events, and if I'm going on a holiday or a trip anywhere, I never plan where I'm going to go along the way. I just kind of hit the road and go where I end up.
Yeah.
You
know?
I found that if you plan your life, you miss out on your life. You miss out on all the possibilities that were open to you because you weren't open to them.
Yeah. Sort of like what happens if a leaf gets caught on a breeze. It gets to travel and see a whole lot of things with the wind behind it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's kind of the way I live my life. So, yeah, who knows where I'll end up, brother. It's going to be very interesting. There's even talk of catching up with Ken O'Keefe and possibly even going to Gaza with him. So Yeah, that could be interesting as well. To wear a bulletproof vest and a RoboCop helmet, I should be right.
Yeah, man, absolutely. We also have a rather large pistol that comes out of your thigh.
might need that in Gaza, mate. But who knows?
I think you might need something bigger in Gaza, bro.
Yeah, well, you know, who knows where I end up anyway. So it's all very interesting, mate. It's all very fascinating. It's all very synchronistic, and it's just kind of been dropped in my lap. So yeah, yeah. I'll go for it and see where I end up.
Well, we'll make a plea out to your Israeli sponsors and supporters and listeners and stuff like that for an Abrams tank for your personal escort.
Yeah, yeah, no worries. Yeah, that'd go down really well. casually cruise across the border in an Abrams. Yeah,
yeah. You know, what kind of flag would you fly, though? I mean, like, if you're going to be cruising through just the streets of Gaza or anything like that in a neighboring state, maybe it's just not a good idea and it's probably not going to happen, but, you know, I can dream.
I'd probably fly a crow house flag, mate.
Yeah.
That works for me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Somebody will look up and there's an enormous machine of war that has the flag of a mechanical man's face on it.
Yeah, that should work well, you know.
That would actually freak the living bejesus out of them, you know. Who knows? You might be seen as some kind of religious prophet of Mechanista or something like that, you know.
Well, who knows, mate? I might, who knows what'll happen, mate? I'll go out there in the world and get sucked into the void.
Sucked into the void like so much phlegm.
Yeah, something like that. So, but it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to the hemp conference. That should be good.
Yeah, man. Well, let's hope if you when you're on your way back, they don't smuggle 4 kilos of marijuana into your boogie board bag.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I won't be taking any boogie boards with me, mate. So that should be right there. I'll be taking one backpack, and I'll be making sure that it's with me at all times.
Yeah, yeah. You carry on, mate. Carry on luggage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carry-on luggage, take a vulture with me or something.
Yeah, and also, you know, heaps of sellotape around it or something like that. Apparently, how is it you can travel safely in a post-9/11 world? Like, I thought air travel was rather safe before 9/11 happened, and now I'm really afraid of all the security protocols that are going to search me and violate my stuff and plant drugs on me.
Yeah, yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? That's the problem, mate. It just gives them more opportunity to mess with you, and that's what it's all about.
For goodness sake. I mean, look at it this way. Somebody asked me, like, when are you going to travel to the United States? And I'll say, probably when about the same time that I'm comfortable with other men touching my testicles.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, I've had a few offers to go to the States while I'm away, but it's whether I want to go through all the TSA rigmarole and get scanned and molested and all the sort of stuff you have to go through to enter into what is essentially a police state.
Yeah.
And I just don't really know if I want to deal with that.
You know what I do want to do, though? I want to stand outside LAX, so all the tourists have just been sexually molested, walking out in like a Rasta costume and go, congratulations on your molestations.
Yeah, that'd go down well.
Well, that's exactly what they'd say.
Yeah. But, so I've been very, very dubious about whether I even want to go to the United States. It's kind of like out of the frying pan into the fire, you know. I think the United States is gone. I really don't think that the America that we all know and love actually exists anymore.
Well, you never know unless you go, of course. And but somebody asked me once, Vinny, when are you coming to America? And I go, I don't know, bro. Would you take a vacation to Nazi Germany in 1938 or something?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. That's what you're entering into. So do you really want to go there? That's what I think. I mean, all I hear from people is the difficulty they're having over there with their government, difficulty they're having with local police. There's so many people are in trying to exacerbate themselves in the legal system, you know.
Yeah.
They emancipate themselves in the legal system. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
So do I really want to go there? Especially someone with my political leanings, would they even let me in? That's the question as well, you know.
Have you noticed that it's just terrible? There's a lot of uncertainty because we're not actually asking the official at the airport these questions. We have to do that on the day. We're not actually saying to them, hey, look, I don't want to, when I come to your country, I don't want to be sexually molested. I think that's a pretty straightforward request. And I don't want to be baked in an oven or anything of that either. So how about I just, you know, walk through fully naked throughout the whole thing so you know that there's nothing on me?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but then they'll say, oh, there's something inside you. We'll have to do a cavity search. And it's very suspicious that you don't want to be groped or irradiated. You're, yeah, that's real suspicious behavior, is it?
Yeah, that's the problem. See, I mean, I just don't want to be microwaved. I've got no problem with them seeing me naked in the naked body scanners or whatever. You know, if they want to see me naked, well, they deserve what they get. But, yeah, I just don't really like the idea of being microwaved and having my DNA messed with, which is what happens.
Yeah. Well, also the TSA employees, a lot of them will probably need counselling after seeing both of us naked, Max.
I'd say they would, mate. I'd say they would. It wouldn't be a very pleasant experience.
Nah, bro.
So, yeah. Special breed, mate. Special breed, the TSA, I think.
Well, yeah, bred to be sexual predators. I think. Well, what was it? A lot of articles and things have come out that they've actually kind of been recruiting sexual predators, pedophiles, etc. That kind of scumbaggery into their ranks. Isn't that insane? And something like 30,000 registered sex offenders on the TSA books at the moment, or something.
Sounds like they're a political party or something, mate.
Well, you know what? I think every government agency, regardless, has a political agenda. And the TSA's agenda, I think, in no small part, is to stop people wanting to fly.
Well, yeah, they're doing a damn good job of it as well. It's stopping people wanting to enter the country. I mean, like I said, I've certainly got no desire to visit America due to the actions of the TSA and the government. So, yeah, doing wonders for American tourism.
It's tearing asunder American tourism. Like, I remember it was as little as maybe 10, 12, 15 years ago or something like that, where everybody wanted to go on holiday in the States, right? Because it was cool. They had the big amusement parks. They had the Grand Canyon, and they got the big cities. You can do all your shopping and stuff there. You can get all the latest gizmos. And now when people talk about taking a holiday to the United States, everybody's like, oh, are you sure?
Yeah, yeah. Nobody wants to go there. Well, it is like you said before, it's like Nazi Germany in 1938. And the American people can't seem to see it. Well, many of them can't seem to see it, which is very disappointing. And it's very very damaging, I mean, very dangerous for the American people, what they're facing. And it's happening right under their noses, and they're just not looking. But I find that a lot of American people that come out here, like to Byron, American tourists that I meet in Byron, they're very, very surprised at the way their country is viewed by the rest of the world, because they don't hear any of it from within the United States. They really do feel like America has done more to help and protect the world and enforce freedom and create freedom and everything. I think it's a really, really good nation that has done so much good for the planet. They really don't see how it's been used to go out and basically stomp on the rest of the world and impose a corporate system right around the globe. You know, under the guise of freedom, you know. And it's very, very shocking for a lot of American people to see it.
Well, look at it this way. You suddenly realize that everything in the world that you've been brought up to believe is the direct opposite of what you've been told?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, I mean, a lot of people must feel like Wile E. Coyote, who'd been running across all that nothing but air for all the time, and all of a sudden looks down and there's nothing there.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely it, really. That absolutely is. I mean, people have been lied to their whole lives. That's what politicians do. The whole system is backwards. Everything they tell you is false. Everything is, you know, anything the government says on television, any news reports that I hear, I always figure, well, the truth must lie in the opposite direction. And when I look, I find that it does, you know.
Do you think we're being too polite to these politicians and other assorted scum?
Well, I think that we need to be polite and respectful, but by the same token, I think we need to be very poignant in what we say and very direct in what we say. I can politely tell someone that they're a barefaced liar. I have no need to raise my voice. I can politely tell someone that they're a psychopath and I will not be complying with anything they say or do, and that I'll be devoting my life to make sure that they are removed from any position of power and spend the rest of their life in jail. But I can do it politely. You know, I don't wish to hurt these people. I don't even wish to put them in jail. I just want them to go away.
Well, it's kind of like kung fu, you know. You've got to warn the person a couple of times, and they have to act very belligerent and aggressive and know that you're a deadly weapon of scumbaggery exposing potentiality, you know? We'll be right back, folks, after the break with a little bit more of Max Egan and Fish Fluid. Stay, only about 12 more minutes left of the program. Back in a minute.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations. I'll let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations. Have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile.
To the show that talks about lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Your daily dose of comedy and conspiracy. Welcome one and all. We hope that you follow the principal lesson of life, not to take thyself or life too frickin' seriously, because there's a lot of bad stuff going on about there, man. And believe me when I tell you, if you're under lots of trauma and anger and crapola and fear, etc., and you're bathing in it all the time, it ain't good for you. So you've got to, well, basically the only way out is to laugh. It's the only way, really, is to maintain a good sense of humor about things. For goodness sake, you have to have something that is powerful. You have to have something that regenerates. And you have to have something that is enjoyable in order to counteract all the scumbaggery. At least this is my opinion. And I could be wrong, but all of the people that I've ever interviewed who are great researchers and what have you in their own right are basically really, really happy, cool people to talk to who know how to have a few cackles, you know? It's how you maintain your sanity in such an insane world. Yes, indeedy. The number is 218-339-8525 for anybody who'd like to call in. That's 218-339-8525 for anybody who'd like to call in. And also, if you want to join us in the chat room at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, where after the show each day we have a group Skype call. So if you're a listener and you want to have a chat with me or something like that, we give the it's kind of like Fight Club, except there's no fighting involved. It's just if you're the new person, you know, you've got to speak and we'll ask you who you are and what you do with all the other regular listeners. And basically you get to talk to a whole bunch of people that do the same thing, like knowing that there's crap going on there, perhaps being a little bit alone at some times and being the only one who knows what's going on in your particular situation. And it's a lot to do with therapy, kind of like a group therapy session. You sit around with a whole bunch of people who have all got the same problem and you talk about it and you realize that your problem is that you're all alone, but now you're in a group, in a room full of all these people who think that you're all alone, and now you're all wrong because you're not alone. Ah, yeah. And it's remarkably fabulous to be in that situation. And tell everybody about it, man, because I think the idea is just to link people up voice to voice at the very least. That's what we want the Skype calls to be about, not about the video or any stuff like that. If you don't want to, you can either come in and listen, or you can talk or whatever. So we can all just hang out and chill. And you can do whatever you want in the background there, man. Seriously, and people have been doing so. And the question I found that's on a lot of people's minds is, what do I do? Right? If you understand that there's a whole bunch of really scary stuff out there, well, you know, what do I do about it? What do I do about it? You know, are there aliens that are going to come down and swoop down and capture the Prime Minister of the UK during the London ceremonies? Or are they going to blow up the tube stations? Or are they going to blow up Big Ben like in V for Vendetta? Or blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Trust me. When it happens, it happens. And if you talk about it, it actually lessens the likelihood that bad things will happen in a lot of cases, because if they're going to try and pull off a covert operation, they don't try and pull off a covert operation after everybody's been talking about it for months and months and months and hyping it up on the alternative sphere. Like, if 9/11 had had the amount of exposure and the amount of articles and the amount of level of stuff coming out all over the internet in the months and years leading up to the event, that there's going to be some big event on September 11th or during this particular time frame or whatever, if it had been out everywhere, as bigly hyped as the Olympics are, they would never have been able to pull it off, because everybody would have noticed something's up instantly, and you would have completely torn apart your own credibility. The thing about the London Olympics, or at least this is my take, I could be wrong, is that, sure, it's a big target. You know, you've got all the world's people who are meeting here together, and they'll be heading back to all their respective countries afterwards. Okay? Now, let's say, for instance, that's not an isolated incident. Okay? Like, for example, meetings of world leaders and world charity organizations and security commissions and blah, 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 blah. There's all sorts of massive international events and meetings and things that are hanging on with people that are of more strategic significance than simply somebody who can run really, really, really fast. Okay? That person might be a symbol to their country, but also so is somebody's leader or climate minister or whatever. There's much bigger targets of sacrifice that the New World Order could use, and to greater effect, to use it to scare the bejesus out of everybody and generate public interest. And then we have a caller around here, Kyle from Pennsylvania, I believe is the name. Kyle, are you there?
Hey, Vinny. Yeah, I had called in the Chris Greenway's show earlier, and I was telling him that the guest that you had on before, Hendrik Palmgren, you remember him?
Yeah. Hendrik Palmgren, I think is pronounced, but yeah. Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, he did a special two-part episode on his radio show all about the Olympics. He had, like, multiple guests on and different segments, and he really lays it all out there. He takes it, you know, he takes it from sort of an esoteric angle all the way through, like, the logistics, the forensic evidence, and the circumstantial evidence that, you know, if this is probably going to be a pretty eventful Olympics. And, you know, some of it is way out there and something that I don't subscribe to. But when you look at all the pieces to it, it really seems to be a gigantic, gigantic bullseye for the New World Order.
I'm seeing it sort of like that in terms of pieces of a puzzle fitting together. But it's more like you've just tipped the box out, and on the box there's a big image of what you expect to see, but you haven't actually put the you haven't actually seen whether or not all the pieces fit yet, kind of thing.
Yeah.
They're all just in a pile, and you know whatever can be figured out is there somewhere, but it's going to take a while to sift through. And by the time we've sifted through all of it, the Olympics will have been and gone, and nothing would have happened, and we would have wasted our lives, sort of thing. I think that's the mentality of some people. They don't really care whether or not it does or doesn't happen. And I'm just thinking, you know, you really got to just at least be open to the to these things. Just don't believe it, but definitely, definitely keep an eye on it.
Well, and I guess there's two ways of thinking. And the first way is the reason why it would be the Olympics. I mean, it's the biggest stage there has been in at least 4 years, maybe even longer. So absolutely, why not, where it's going to cause the most damage? But I guess the other school of thinking is, I guess you would want to hit people on a Tuesday morning at, you know, 8:47 when nobody's expecting it. So does it being the Olympics, does it make it that much more tempting? Or is the school of thought that you should do it when nobody's looking, which has a greater effect?
Well, obviously, when everybody's looking is when it has the greater effect out of the clear blue sky, and then have a managed media fiasco after it. Now, obviously, you're aware of symbolism in films and things like that. Like, for example, if you've seen the film Knowing, there's a section in the film about a oil rig blowing up in the Gulf of Mexico, and this film was released a year or two before the oil rig blew up in the Gulf of Mexico. In the movie 2012, when everything starts going to heck and all of that kind of stuff, they have to cancel the London 2012 Olympics, and you see all these Londoner horsemen just kind of like plowing into crowds and martial law and all that kind of stuff. You just wonder, is that what happened?
And I'm not claiming I came up with this. Everything I'm going to say came from the show that I listened to. And if you look at the movie Battle LA, that was August 19th. If you look at the movie District 9, when at the end of the movie, the guy says, you know, I'll be back, and the alien says, I'll be back in 3 years. And the movie was released on August 19th. And then there was another movie. Anyway, it's all August 19th. These three movies have the same date of August 19th of there being an event. And the closing ceremonies for the Olympics are August 19th. I'm not doing a good job representing the information that they expressed in this show, but this is 2 hours of just, you know, this, and this, that, and that, you know. This and this and that and that. An example is in 1980, March 22nd, 1980, 3-2-2, the Georgia Guidestones go up. And 30 years later, on March 22nd, 2010, the Olympic tickets go on sale. It's 30 years to the day, and it's the 30th Olympics, and it's all stuff like that.
What?